Hello, my name is Johan Sonen. Let's talk about owning your healthcare experience. So I pretend to run a healthcare design studio outside Boston. I also teach at an academic center in Cambridge here. And as part of my healthcare background, you should know what's influencing my brain. Definitely is not money. And if you have any concerns, well, heck, my entire genome has been open sourced on GitHub. You can download it, put it on a crime scene, make sure there's a goat or a sheep nearby. But if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me. I'll try to get back to you within 2 business hours or publicly shame me on Twitter. Yes, the medical profession is noble. Hell yes. And yet, it has been infiltrated by the mighty dollar for decades. And I think we use this nobility as a shield, as an umbrella to obscure some of our activities here. And let's look at one example here. The 2 square miles between, let's say, Harvard and MIT, because I'm looking hyperlocally, occupies about 25% of healthcare GDP. That's $750 billion. That is a ton. And that kind of concentration, the Earth doesn't like it that much, at least in nature it doesn't. And that's 1% of global GDP. So the exercise here for me is to follow the money, because it's really a systemic flaw that we have is that we put profits over people. And one example of this that's particularly egregious is from been revealed by ProPublica, New York Times, relatively recently, with a cat at a very good cancer institute in New York City, where he just ran the gauntlet on ethics by breaking lots of ethical conflict of interest rules, from being on boards to being the editors of a magazine that publishes data and then proselytizing about it. It was a mess. And one particular case is about Page.ai. It is a startup that was born inside the hospital that had exclusive rights to deal with the data of the patients, and yet it was owned by the hospital and paid for by the public. Hundreds of different clinicians encoded the data. It's not like they did it, you know, with one person. And really, ultimately, it's about making the rich richer, with the executive team being the investment team for this startup. And it gets better. That this work was done over 60 years. And again, it's my data, your data, people who visited. They have no idea that this is going on. All of it, again, for profit-driven venture. And, you know, we're finding this in .edu land, .org land, where nonprofits and educational institutions are really going after different ways to make money. And I think this is a problem, too, that's infecting most of the United States and now most of the world. And look, he's hiding in plain sight, and it's always interesting when someone's an intern and CEO at the same time. But the main thing here that I want to concentrate on is the data use agreement keeps us patients out of control. We don't have any kind of decision of what's happening to our tissue slides for economic use. So what kind of design is this? Well, look, hospitals own the data. We don't have ownership rights as patients. The IP is owned by executives, yet it's funded by the public. And this is a perfect example of corporate welfare at its finest. And ultimately, it's the rush for bucks over everything else. And this is ethics as situationally optional. It happens all over the planet, not just at Sloan Kettering, but at Walgreens or you name it. And it's happening right now in Boston, actually, again, with the CMO of Moderna, who's one of the leading companies that are making the COVID vaccine, where he's taking out $1 million a week from his company. He's got right to do that, but he just got $500 million of taxpayer money this year. That's the kind of world we live in. And yet, here we are. We're complicit. We're sloughing our data everywhere without rights across the planet in order to feed the economic engines of the planet. So we have to understand a little bit the underpants of the scenario, which is, well, what are we sloughing around? What data? What kind of data is it? And so most often people think that health data is clinical in nature, but it's much more than that. It's any information about a person's life that assists in making decisions. This, by the way, was our definition for the Wikipedia article that we seeded just a few years ago. There was no health data article on Wikipedia up until a couple years ago. Insane. So you think about, okay, great, it's my labs. Okay, it's what my doctor and I do together, or my nurse, the clinical trials, my genome. Great. Okay, yep, but it's way more than that. It's your salary. Your salary is a health data point. So is your neighborhood that you live. So is what you do. It's really life data. If you want a better and more detailed insight into this, we have an open source repository here, Health Determinants of Health, that show this a bit better. So it's health data is more than you think it is, and you don't own it, and you damn well should. Now, GDPR, which many of you are probably familiar with, you live in it. It's a much more mature version of what we should be using here in the States. But it doesn't outline ownership either. In Recital 7, it says, okay, yep, control and access, but nothing about ownership. If you go deeper into the recital about right of access, it actually articulates that it does not belong to you, but it should. Why? Because your data is promiscuous. As you go and see a clinician, a nurse, on your phone, whenever it is, it can go to the labs, it can go to the pharmacy, it can go to the PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers, it can go to the government. It goes across the spectrum, especially if you're going to ask Alexa what's happening. The round trip and how many services that handle that, there are hundreds, 500 or 600 different services handle your data as it goes the round trip from voice back to repeating it, the answer to you. If you want some more information about this, we have another open source visualization here. Because, look, this has been an age of healthcare surveillance, but my hope, my supposition is that patient data ownership turns into a net positive for this past couple decades. Because patients should own their data. And some well-known people are saying that, yep, they damn right should be. Seema Verma is the head of the biggest American and one of the biggest social medicine platforms in the planet. And one paper that outlines this very, very well articulates three components to getting close to this sort of goodness. Is that one, you need common data elements. Many countries have this problem where we can't even have the same definition for the same data point across systems. The second thing is you have some kind of encounter receipt. So when I have an appointment with my clinician, something happens, I get something that's automatically pushed in my digital health record that in essence completes it, because there's a contract in play between me and between that third party that then starts to say, okay, great, I can control my longitudinal digital health record. So how do I think about this? Well, if we were to make it in visual terms, I have some kind of encounter, whether it's at home, whether it's in a cardboard box in the alley, whether it's at a clinic, fine. I talk to a nurse. And we have this brokered data use agreement that says, okay, as a patient, yep, sure, I'll let you see it. I'll let you see it for this long. And it articulates how that can work. And the underbelly of that really is a technical service that then pieces together the data, attaches it to the right place, and creates this sort of data receipt of what happened. And then that gets injected into my lifelong health record. That's, in essence, how I think this should work. Because we'll have this Matrix-esque little patient data manager bot putting together your data in the context of whether I'm doing it from home, whether I'm talking to a device, whether I'm talking to a human, and ultimately this output goes back into my record. Because what does this get me? Well, it gets me something. One aspect of that is it gets me, how complete is my record? Is my record empty? Is it half complete? No one really gets to complete, but it allows us to get some kind of glimpse is how many cobwebs are on it. Can I trust this data? By the way, as a side note here, it took a bunch of overeducated MDs and PhDs to put together a paper that says drawing pictures helps comprehension for humans. Well, no kidding. But I think this is important because academics, scientists, all of us need ways to see stories versus being told and reading about them. So I think this is why many of us use this kind of powerful graphics in healthcare. Humans resonate with them. Okay, onwards to owning your data. So number three, when you own it, you control access, damn it. And let's go back to just the creamy center of this is the DUA, the data use agreement, and then the data receipt is we have a prototype of this. It's on GitHub, and you can control your data using a data manager, but we've made this accessible to most humans. It's written in very simple English that a fifth grader could understand. It's high contrast imagery. It's very simple little graphic novels. And you can put this on top of any kind of framework. You can put it on top of Apple's HealthKit, which is open source, or the Android's Common Health platform, and get deeper and deeper into this and actually see a receipt. What if you could actually listen to what happened in that conversation with your clinician? You see the data that happened, that moved and changed. You could see where it resides on the social determinants of health and your social circumstances attached to your data and vice versa, because it's yours. You should see all this because ultimately it gives you health autonomy by owning it. And what are those rights? Well, you can possess it. Yep, it's mine. You can share it to whoever, whatever you want. You can sell it. Yeah, you can destroy it too because it's yours. Now, the idea here is that patients co-own or fully own every health data point about themselves. And anything that I generate with a clinician or clinic is co-owned by both parties because they still need to have some rights once you come into the clinic to see the information or make judgments, etc., and have it for audit. Have it for research. And then anything I do, I should fully own. It's my data, my rights. Any data that doesn't give this to you is mistreating you. And it really is the last bastion of help for capitalism. This unfettered capitalism is selling your experiences, buying your mind. And I think that I demand patient ownership rights to put a kibosh on that. So if you can look at this, if you want, at datauseagreement.org. It's on GitHub. And you need to see, I think, that it has publicly accessible code on GitHub, that it's licensed under Apache license, and that it's there for community. It's there for feedback, for interrogation. So why are all these things open source? Well, good reasons. You can't solve this problem of healthcare without community, without other people. So 70 years ago, this sounds mighty open source to me, Declaration of Geneva. I'm going to share my medical knowledge for the planet. Fabulous. Yet here we have knuckleheads in the United States and elsewhere. It's not indigenous only here. That our algorithm that's closed, it's amazing. It care plans for half the population. Really? Well, if we think that healthcare is a human right, it pretty much is, but when you use it, you don't know how it works, why it works, and who it works best for. And that, to me, is a sin. So if healthcare is so noble, if it's key to our life on Earth and we don't have a choice, we demand healthcare to be open. Well, there's good precedent here that healthcare, at least the internet, the infrastructure is open source and a human right. And for those nerds in the audience who love the OSI model, most of the stack in the internet is open source. Fantastic. We have great examples of it that's driving this conversation in our viewing right now. And yet, in contrast, in stark contrast, healthcare stack is closed. And yet, you know, I think Eric Topol calls it anti-open source in healthcare. Lots of, again, good people have talked about it being open source, that Epic should be open source, the big giant electronic healthcare company, etc. We just don't have it. One country on Spaceship Earth has data ownership for patients and an open source background, my home country of Estonia. It's a really fantastic example of how healthcare could work. Yet we're making strides, I think, across the planet for other open source healthcare services. And we see it in use in infrastructure and common goods and the leading edge. And now that we have a global emergency over the past year, you've seen a glut of open source projects, which is fantastic in healthcare. Here's the NIH value set authority. Here's my news feed having actually open source healthcare in it for the first time ever. You can see on GitHub there are 33,000 repos in COVID land. I mean, there's 6,000 in the date picker. My God, I mean, it's fantastic. We open source at the studio all of our work that we do internally, from understanding coronavirus to the multi-translated home care basics, to hgraph, to this data use project. Linux Foundation has been radically moving the needle, hopefully, more and more. Same with MITRE and other institutions. It's a pretty amazing response, but we're not close to done. Because we really want march-in rights for the patent. We want some kind of open patent, open chemistry, open license for the planet for the vaccine. We need to think about this as a public health issue and a public problem with public solutions. And this is part of our act, is we have to be deliberate in how much we do and work in open source. We have to continue to evangelize. Open source is really contracting and has been for the past several years. And so we have to fight against that and pretend that it's not just something nice to do, but that it's an opt-out strategy. That we lead our companies into open source. This is how healthcare, open source healthcare prospers. Because look, healthcare and public health is a utility, it's a human right, and way too important to be closed. These algorithms that drive my care are all locked up in black box services. We need to interrogate them. We need to understand how to edit them, how they work, and how to make them better for all. Because it is our health, it's my life, it's all of our lives at stake, and we demand that healthcare services be open to correct the bias. So to recap, healthcare data is more than you think it is. You don't own it, and you damn well should. When you own your data, you control access, and owning it gives you autonomy. And you really can't solve the healthcare systemic problems until you ask the community to join. And finally, having your health data can save your life. I have stolen from these people here, and I thank them for it. And if you have any questions or want to read more, go here. Thank you very much.